Welcome back to Beyond Classified. I'm Chris Matthew. Today, my guest is Michael Wan. He is an artist, astrologer, and independent researcher. He is known for the Susquehanna Mystery and the Rites of the 40th Parallel. He navigates by pointing his compass towards uniqueness, patterns, mimicry, resonance, and universal truths. Michael, welcome back. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. Chris, thank you for having me. It's been a while, so I'm excited to be back.
Yeah, it's always great having you on. Last time you were on, I think it was like, close to almost a year ago. So much has happened. We always go deep. We always go down some fascinating rabbit holes. I don't expect today to be any different, especially given the world we're currently in. Like I said, so much has happened. First of all, how have you been in your world? Anything different or new for you?
Well, you can't have the outer world change as much as the outer world has changed without your inner world being connected to it and changing as well. Regardless if you're not if you're saying that's not my world, but still you're connected to it, or at least I am. And so, yes, of course, I've changed a lot. This past year has been a real interesting time for me as just like as an individual human being. I mean, as everything is changing and in the outer world, like there's so much, despite the fact what they're telling you, there's so much potentiality. Because nothing's ever going to be the same. And so like there's almost an overwhelming amount of potentiality because the world is being rewritten right now, and it does not necessarily have to follow the script which is being laid before us. So that being said, the past 6 months for me has been really questioning, like, what is it that I want to do? What is it that interests me? What is it that I think is going to serve me, serve my community? All of those sort of questions. I mean, and those are big questions for me. I typically have been a float by life kind of person. And so this has been new, and it's been, you know, everything which is new, like in some ways, like exciting and fun, but then in other ways, like, you know, a bit of pain in the ass. I miss the old ways. So yeah. How's that for an answer for your question?
That's perfect answer. Yeah, definitely. It's been so strange the past year and a half, but tonight we're going to be broadcasting live on Rockfin, so we can get as controversial and say whatever no words they don't let you say on other platforms, we can say today. And you know, this whole situation with COVID has devolved into this like insane sci-fi soap opera type situation in the media. You have actors like Fauci, Gates, now Rand Paul, Trump, and then we get hit with this UFO madness on top of everything else. It's so crazy. If you were in a coma for the past like 2 years and you woke up now, you'd be in a crazy different world than you're used to. So what do you think has been going on? The last time we spoke, we kind of touched on the ritualistic aspects that could possibly be going on behind here. Now we've got the major push for vaccines. What do you think's going on behind the scenes here since the last time we talked?
So, okay, that's a fantastic way to start the show. So the first thing, and maybe this will like link back to the last thing we're just talking about, is it's become so ridiculously obvious that this is a show. And part of like what I've seen in my own life, like I've always had like a what would call synchromistic sort of lens and rich experiences in my life, and that has become even more so in the past 6 months, let's say, but in a kind of a different way. But it also corresponds with a withdrawal from the hypnosis of the story, because the story is friggin' like whether you are like engrossed in it because you believe it to be real, or whether you're engrossed in it because you're like, I can't believe this shit which they're showing us, like, you know, the drive-by on like a bad accident site, like it don't matter because it sucks you in. And that to me is like almost the is where I'm understanding it right now is like so much of the ritual is to like create that, like what they would call in economics, the priming of the pump to bring in everyone to pay attention. Like, oh yeah, we're going to do this ritual, but we're also going to let you know we're doing this ritual. So you could start watching this ritual, which feeds it. So like, in a way, I've been stepping a lot back from like trying to feed that. But that being said, like I still can't help but peek because like I was born into the system and they got me hooked as much as anyone else. And it is fascinating. So with that being said, this is going to be kind of fresh for me because I am not as deep into following the narrative as I once was, but I do peek every once in a while. And you are absolutely right as you were in terms of tying in COVID to this UFO phenomenon. That has been a topic which I have withdrawn from a couple years ago, mainly because I didn't know which way was up and I did not want to participate in it. It's not so much that like I'm in like, you know, saying this is what I think it is or this is what I think it is. It's more so it's like, well, I don't know, because I've certainly had my own experiences with strange things in the sky and maybe we could get into that. But that being said, like this story to me, the timing of this and the well orchestratedness of how this is being rolled out is worthy of paying attention to right now. If we look at last summer as kind of a, you know, like a comparison, maybe like there was in the summer, there was a releasing of the pressure of that first round of lockdown for pretty much the world. I'll focus in North America because that's what I know more personally. And so then we got like all the riots. So there was the green light was given for that energy to be released. And I'm thinking last year was a little bit different because it was that election year and all this stuff was tied into that. And then you had like the resurrection. No, it wasn't called what's the word they use? I always think resurrection, but it's like one of those words is which they say. And that was this other sort of like, you know, we can see like how the energy is being stoked and what parts of the population are being stoked and what part of consciousness is being stoked. And so now we're like, all right, they're going to hit you up with the aliens. And you've got like a whole variety of people who like, you know, how they're going to respond to it. So you've got like a group of people who are like, they don't look at aliens. The aliens all ridiculous stuff. You've got the mainstream folks, which are like, oh yeah, I've seen the History Channel and they've been telling me about aliens. And I've been seeing the slow drip. Then you've got like, you know, maybe more of like what you'd call like the new age sort of understanding of aliens. And then you got like, you know, the people who don't really have an opinion or the people who just say like, no, this is all just like Nazi Endor or like military stuff, which we're seeing in the sky. Nonetheless, they're all going to get hit with it. And there's going to be this kind of like, you know, how is that going to respond? How are the different groups going to respond to that? So I think that's a fascinating, like, you know, I'm intrigued to see where that's going to go. But then the timing of that with the COVID, because there's a lot of, there are two things which are jumping out with the COVID. One is there's a huge release of the gas. So Pennsylvania was a state where they had like the mask mandate. Well, it wasn't like that big of a deal. Like I would, you know, some places I'd wear it but for the most part, I, you know, it wasn't a big deal if you weren't. You might get some looks or what have you. But all of that is like kind of changing. So they're taking that off and they're already like, you know, there's what I'm also noticing is they're starting to talk about what the next round is going to be. So they're setting the stage for like, okay, like now you got to start thinking about the next thing. And that's going to be the really bad one that's coming. And I'm like, this is just all like, this is a story. These are all stories. These are ridiculous stories. None of it's real. I don't buy any of it. I'll say it this way. I've not seen any evidence to make me to come to the conclusion that this is a real thing. And so like I'm seeing these stories, so that's helping me pull out a little bit from like being being focused upon them. And so I'm going to go right into this beeping, the fire alarm. So as that has been happening, as I've been like, these are ridiculous stories. I'm not even like paying that much attention anymore. I mean, obviously enough to give you that recap, but like all of this other, like very, very strange things are happening, on a very, very high level, in my regular life, like both with technology and with the natural world. And I pay attention to patterns. So I like have a point of reference in my own life to know, like, you know, what I'm seeing. And, you know, stuff's just getting weird. Where I'm standing right now is, you know, I hold the understanding that the human experience at its heart is a mystery, like not a mystery to be solved, but to be embraced. So like there's a big part of like, I'm willing to accept a lot of unknown. And so the unknown, the biggest unknown is like, you know, where are we having our life experience? Where is this thing? And to me, on a fundamental level, that seems to be changing. Like more so than everything which we're seeing with like this, these stories, we're seeing other changes and we're seeing it in these weird ways. And this is kind of why I go back to that thing. Like everything is possible, like in the most, only our creativity and our imagination, I think right now is the only limitation. That's why it's been so important that they shaped it so that your imagination will fit their storyline. But like we're at a point right now where if we start to strip back, we're stripping back some of those stories and like, you know, you're moving to a new place. You've got all new, you don't have any of those old stories that you have anymore. Like we are in that position. And so as we see what's coming this summer, we're seeing kind of like a release, hopefully, in a lot of these mandates. There's going to be something put out which is going to stoke everyone's imagination. Like my expectation is like things are going to just get stranger and stranger. And, you know, I'm kind of excited for it.
Yeah, I am too. And like you said, you know, there's things that are happening that are naturally strange. And then there's things that are happening to where they're kind of pushing this and kind of pushing the collective culture and the collective consciousness to think in a certain direction. So now if it's, you know, if I'm thinking, well, if they're coming out with all this UFO stuff, and I definitely don't trust anything that's coming out from our government or the media, and this is the sources that all this information is coming from. I mean, it's fascinating, but of course, I'm not going to trust it, but why and where is it going and what's going to happen? Like you said, something fantastical may happen. Is this going to be like a staged fake alien invasion thing? I mean, I've heard that so much over the years from different, you know, conspiracy theorists and people. Or could it be something else? Are they going to roll out some toys that they've just been itching to roll out for their Space Force? You know, could be any of those things. It's going to be a very fascinating time to pay attention to this stuff.
Probably both. I mean, we're going to see the, I mean, there's this stringing along. That's one of the most important things. And this is what comes with experience. Like when you've been following these storylines for like a while and you see like the buildup, you see the buildup of like, you know, oh, something's coming. All the signs are there. This is going to happen. And then it doesn't happen. And you see this over and over again, you're like, okay, you're beginning to recognize that's a modus operandi. And there's always that voice in your back of your mind. He's like, but is this the one? Is this the time?
You know, that, yeah, it's like a constant buildup.
Who knows what's going to happen? But that's it. Like the biggest thing which I'm seeing is like, this is stringing along, but it is, I think, from, if I did not see all of the things in my own personal life, which have just been weird, then I would be like, well, this is just like, you know, smoke and mirrors. But I think it's mostly smoke and mirrors because there is something which is changing. You know, we are changing, whatever that may be, the environment which we're experiencing life in is changing. And that is where I really want to go with my awareness and my attention in the coming months. And then also being very, very as grounded as I can. And this has been something which has been different in the last 6 months as well, has been recognizing like fundamental lenses in which I see reality, and these are seemingly like not big deal sort of things, but I think that, you know, that they're really big. And this is part of the way of becoming free of the consciousness, which has been put in all of us. Even those of us who are like, no, I know the media's bullshit, and I know the government's bullshit, and I know that's bullshit, and I know Target's bullshit, and I know Amazon's bullshit. But still, like, we are ingrained in the system we're born into. So, like, I've been doing a lot of stuff like reconstructing calendars, like getting away from that, looking at the natural world in a very, very different way. And so that's where I'm hoping to really connect and be part of when this change, which we're experiencing, begins to or continues on its trajectory.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. And I want to get into some of the changes that you're noticing collectively around, not only with people, but like you said, in your environment and stuff. But one of the things that's hard to kind of get a peg on is where people are standing right now collectively when it comes to their view of shenanigans, you know, basically is their view of, is this BS or is this not? Are we being played or are we not? They have this new thing in the media that I heard the other day called mask culture, where people don't want to stop wearing masks. It's a new thing because it's cool. You know, I don't know how real that is. Are there a sect of people that want to keep wearing masks? Sure, I'm sure there are, but is it as big and, you know, trendy as the media wants us to think it is? You know, I'm wondering collectively how many people are still on board with the nonsense and how many people are just kind of evolving and kind of doing their own free thinking and being sovereign individuals. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm always gauging the population just by looking around at you know, what percent of people I see wearing masks, and particularly right, those who wear it while driving. And so, you know, that's my own kind of like soft analysis. But I tend to agree with you that that's the real definition of a meme. Like, if you go back to seeing where like meme was first introduced into like the lexicon, what a meme means, a mind virus. And so a mind virus is basically an idea which then spreads. And so that's what, when you see in the media, particularly, everything is so segmented and demographic, like they know exactly who they're getting to. And you release this story and you put this idea in people's minds, like, hey, it's, you know, it's cool to do this, to wear the mask. And then at the same time, you get like, you know, you see all of the studies that say that you should still be scared. Like, you know, I think they're creating it. Like, undoubtedly, maybe some people, I think, like wearing a mask. I think that's probably a really small percentage of people, but that whole thing to make it trendy, yeah, that's made up. That's not real. That's Edward Bernays propaganda 101. But it works. You know, you'll go and see some people, but then you go like, I live in Pennsylvania, and this has been the case from the whole time, was there are three counties which I'm kind of nearby. Like, so there's, I live in Lancaster County, and then there's York County on the other side of the Susquehanna. And then like above that is Cumberland County, or I'll say Lebanon County too. So these four counties. And what I've noticed is that each, and this is probably true for most areas, like counties have a certain flavor. Like, you know, this is the way this county is, and this is the way this county is. And the mask wearing is totally in alignment on those lines. Like, you know, Lancaster tends to be a little bit more uptight, a little bit more like, you know, things are orderly and people are all wearing their mask much more. And Lancaster like takes itself very seriously. And then you go to York County, and York County is like, I think their tagline is like historically edgy, which is me like, from as long as you could remember, this is where like any shit goes. And so you drive into York, it's like any shit goes. And like, people are like, you know, they've got like a mask on their phone, but they don't have it on their face. And they're like, I don't give a fuck. You know, it's the, that's your county. Maybe some people are wearing it. And then you go into like maybe a little bit more rural areas like in Lebanon or Cumberland. And it's like people are like, no, I'm not going to wear a mask because it's no one's right to tell me I'm going to wear a mask. And I'm just not, you know, and it's that. And I think that that's where those kind of like, if we want to look at things in the most basic level, like we can look at these demographics in terms of like who's going to be listening to it. You know, and it shouldn't be any surprise. Like it's the same part of the population which is under the spell of everything else, which is in the storyline. Like you know, it fits so much with, you know, I don't want to be general because it's not, it's there's individuals, but like this kind of like social justice warrior, progressive sort of that, like that's where it's most embraced. Like that's where it's cool to have, the wear the mask and, you know, the pandemic hasn't gone away and that sort of stuff. And I got a lot of friends who are in that community or like people who I know, like before things got ugly. And so I don't find it my job to want to go and question someone else's story, because there's a reason someone holds on to a story. They have to let it go themselves. So like, that's why I'm a little bit like, you know, I tiptoe around it, but the other people, for whatever reason, for not subscribing, like, you know, they're not going to buy into that. And I think that's going to gather more and more steam is like, they're probably not going to put their mask on at all again.
One of the things that's happening right now that I'm sure you've noticed is basically it's just erasing history. They're taking all our beloved childhood cartoon characters, and we won't see those guys anymore because they're offensive to some people. You know, just this cancel culture where anything that doesn't fit the narrative, anything that offends a certain group of people is getting erased from history. And, you know, anybody that says our history books aren't accurate, oh, they wouldn't do that. Look at what's happening right now, right in front of our faces. It's, you know, basically just book burning. And I wonder if, you know, our future generations are going to know the truth about what really happened during this time, because we don't know the real truth about what happened in our recent history, according to our, you know, just textbooks that you go to your, you know, modern academia, your education system is going to show you. You won't get it there either.
So, you make a very valid point, and I look at it from two different ways. Like, one is like, yes, the both the history and the culture which we grew up in, we're seeing that erased before our eyes, and we're seeing it being erased in a dramatic way. But my sense is this is kind of how it's always been, you know, in certain ways. So it's like there is a continuity. Like right now is more extreme than what it was 10 years ago. But like nonetheless, so there's kind of that. And I hold the opinion, like, I don't know what, I don't trust any of the history anyway. So it's like, you know, it's I don't have a better history. And that's one of the reasons why, like so many of these other narratives are able to, people will grab hold on it, is because we don't have a history, or we inherently know that what we're told isn't the whole thing. So there's like a hole in us, whether we're conscious of it or not. Like, I want to know who am I? Where did I come from? And so like, there's much more willingness to like accept something, which like, you know, well, this answers some of the questions. So like, that's definitely in play. But then the flip side, though, is about the erasing of what we had, what we remember in terms of our culture. Like, this comes with the whole idea of there's a lot of potentiality, because what history also does, what knowing your past also does, is it holds you to it. You know, when you are linked to this, you know, this is a big deal. And we see this a lot. We see this a lot with like in a lot of cultures where like, you know, things are really held on to, which are like, you know, we must not forget. And like there's a truth to that. But then there's also like I'm not moving on. And so as we're seeing like a lot of the past being erased, like if you want to get down into like a psychological, spiritual level, it's like you're being freed up. There's space being created. Like everything is new. Guess what? That was probably a lie to begin with anyway. And now we're making it even easier to create a new one. And guess what even else? You're not going through this shit by yourself because everyone is in the same boat. Because there's a point in every human being's life, like, you know, probably between like 42 to 52 is in one aspect. And then like it continues like up until like 70. And then like wherever it is at 70 is where it stays, where we go through a reckoning. And so that usually happens within each individual's personal journey. But what they've done is they put everyone on the same timeline right now. And so because of that, you know, there's a, you know, this idea of herd immunity is inverted. The herd immunity, the truth of the herd immunity has to do with the interconnectedness of humanity. Like that's a truth. That's a truth. And when we're all strong, we can feel that. And so like when we all go through something at the same time, like there is a strength there as well. But there's like, you know, we have that opportunity. One of the things which I've been thinking about or which has been in my mind a lot recently is the whole adage of like, you know, if you only knew how powerful we were, like that used to be a phrase which I was very familiar with, which I would think of coming from like the very new age sort of like, you know, we're these multidimensional beings. And I'm not saying we're not multidimensional beings, but a lot of that just always felt like very fluffy to me and I'd roll my eyes. But I'm thinking about that now in a different perspective. And I think this is one of the neat things of experiences because you could go back to how you used to think of things and like, wow, look at how I've changed. And I'm really looking at what has been done to humanity in terms of shaping our consciousness, like from the indoctrination of education, like all like billboards, like we don't even have any idea what it's like to not be bombarded with billboards and stop signs and like all this sort of stuff. And so coming to this, the reverse conclusion of like, well, that's a lot of fucking effort. Why would that much effort go into this? Like what requires this much effort? And then I go back to that statement. I'm like, oh my God, they don't know how powerful we are. And I used to take that like I took it seriously, but now I'm taking it seriously in a different way with like almost more of a curiosity as opposed to like, oh, it means like, you know, this multidimensional being is like, well, what does that mean? Like what happens if we are not like shaped? And this is why I'm like going back to like, let me start to deconstruct like what the calendar is. Let me deconstruct what time is. And like, let me also be realistic. And like, how do I continue to work with it so that I can, I could line up my timing with you so that we could do the show. Like I understand the purpose of this stuff. So I find that very exciting.
That is. And earlier you mentioned that you've noticed some collective changes in people and the environment. And I believe that there is a major change, probably even coming up soon, cosmically, based on the place in space that we are. I've had a few researchers on lately. I've had Ben Davidson from the Mobile Observatory Project saying that we could even possibly see some major events in our lifetime coming from space because of the sun, the activity from the sun. And I think that possibly be dictating a lot of the weird things that have been happening on our planet. What do you think about that?
I think that's exactly right. And, you know, going back to all of this stuff, which I'm saying is I think that that's what I'm seeing in my life. And I think that's what we're seeing, the timing of these stories that are being presented by the media. And the deconstruction is, and going back to the, like, you know, what we were exposed to as children and erasing all of that, is to be able to experience slash witness this without a predetermined storyline of what it is. You know, that to me is where the real interesting value comes from, or at least this being immensely conscious with the story in which that's going to be interpreted. And when I say story, I just mean like the lens, the logic. Oh, this is happening. This, you know, this is the Hopi prophecy. This is the fifth son. This is the, you know, whatever storyline, like if that resonates, at least recognize like it's a storyline explaining something greater than a story. So Ben Day, is that the guy from what was it? Suspicious Observers.
Yes.
God. So like I go back like 10 years watching, like it's probably been like a handful of years since I've seen that. But I remember like back in the 2012, like when this guy was first coming up and like all of those sort of like parts that were going into my mind. And then I don't know if you remember like Comets, was it Elenin? And yes. Like that whole time, like it's seeing all of that. So like living through those experiences of like, oh it's going to happen. I can remember exactly like when, I don't remember if it was Ice on the other one? There was a second comment.
Yes, there was Ice
comment,
on, yeah.
And I was like, today's the day it's going to hit the sun. Today's the day it's going to happen. And I can remember exactly where I was. And then I was telling everyone, I'm like, all right, well, you know, I don't want to freak anyone out, but you might want to look up in the sky in about 20 minutes. And then like when nothing happened. So it's like, I've kind of been through that, but I also, but there is stuff happening. There is, you know, and so the fact that Ben, who's like an expert in his field, right? The dude's a genius. And the way he explains things or points things out, you know, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt that you know, he same benefit of the doubt you got to give me. But so what is he saying is going to happen?
Well, it's not just him. There's a few others that,
capturing their attention?
The sun, the solar minimum, really, that in combination with our very weak magnetic field and the fact that it is moving, it's migrating north, the South Atlantic anomaly, which is a major magnetic anomaly, right next to South Africa, and it's pulling our magnetic field, and eventually it could cause a reversal of the magnetic field, which first of all, the first bad news about that is no power, no electricity, no internet for God knows how long. And that's a big enough problem as it is, you know, not to mention possibility of solar flares once our, you know, magnetosphere is so weak it can't protect the planet anymore. So these are, you know, the possibilities that that they're worried about within the next even 5 to 10 years.
Okay, so those have been topics which have been followed for at least 10 years. Like we've been watching those things. So right. This is like, so I was wondering, like, did they see something else? But like my sense is like this goes back to like the UFO phenomenon of what, like the story and like, you know, is this going to be Project Bluebeam or what have you? And like the whole idea, like, why are they spraying the skies? You know, it's to cover that, like. And the whole Nibiru, I like definitely went down the Nibiru thing.
Oh,
like
yeah.
I'm still open with that. That's one of my favorite stories. But like something is moving us towards like seeing something with our own eyes, and that's a story which I like to, which makes sense to me, or like one of those, like I don't know if that's going to happen, but you know, I'm kind of I'm 18% open to that. And this is what I think. This is just Mike's opinion. I'm going to share you. You didn't ask me Mike's opinion, but Mike's going to give you his opinion. You mentioned the coming down of electricity and the internet and all of that sort of stuff as it relates to magnetic reversal. And were you living in Florida when it was in Tampa, like 8 years ago when like they had to redo the airport like directionals because the magnet?
I heard about
like,
it.
You know,
I
so like
moved to Louisiana, back to Louisiana at that time.
Yeah, like I mean, so this has been talked about and witnessed and experienced for some time, and it's definitely heating up. So there are a couple things. Like I personally think that electricity, internet, all of these things that we've been born into and we've become connected to, like all of it, like in every single way, is to our It doesn't serve any of us. It doesn't serve us. And so, like, having that as just even a storyline in the mind, if this does occur, like, you know, I'm already in that position. But that being said, how the human being works is we connect. We have to connect. We have an inner world and there's an outer world. And that outer world is you're going to connect to it. But you have some degree of control as to what part of the outer world you're connecting to. And so that's why it's like going back to like, this is why the rituals are half for us to see, because they want to capture our attention. Rituals are magnetic. They're going to pull us in and we're going to watch and we're going to connect and we're going to line into it. So like when I say, like, I'm not trying to sound like, you know, when I'm about what I'm going to say, I'm not trying to sound like in the typical stereotypical way that this is mentioned. Like I'm looking at this in a very, for at least for me, in a very, very fresh way, is connecting with the natural world. Again, the natural world's a mystery. I don't think the natural world's what we think it is, but it is the most real which we have. And it is my sense two things that in the event, whether a purposeful or an environmental collapse of those systems, it is through the connection in the natural world, and we could go a little bit more into like what this means in a working knowledge, that will move people to where they need to go. And I mean that in the most practical sense. Like, I'm not like suggesting some sort of road warrior post-apocalyptic future. And like, you know, that no, I think that it's going to be more close to what we understand civilization to be, but whether it's with the right people in the right place doing the right things, like, that is going to be driven through the natural world. And so what's happening so much, particularly in this past year, to like connect everyone, like by shutting everything down and making the only connection or the primary connection people would have with other people is through technology. Like, you know, it's further taking people away from or further ingratiating them to what we're calling the internet and all that may be. You know, when that goes away, that's going to be a shock to a lot of people. But the natural world and the currents of the natural world, I think, is the as a window shuts or a door shuts, a window opens, and we're going to see that. And I don't think everyone's going to follow that. I don't think that's the case at all. But I think for those, if this unfolds, and I think it's going to unfold, you know, and I think sooner than later, whether it's going to be exactly something we see in the sky, but that does make sense. We're going to go, everything we need is going to be right where it's not going to be hard to get. That is part of the storyline of like limitation of like, you know, you need to have 2 years worth of food and you need to have batteries and you need to have, no, we don't need electricity at all. And this is how we erase all of that. And we begin to really step into other ways of what it means to be a human being.
Right. And it makes me think of the simulation theory, how you were saying, you know, you kept waiting for, you know, these catastrophic major events to come throughout your lifetime. Whenever someone would be talking about it, you know, I went through the same things, Planet X, you know, the Great Alignment of 2017, all these, you know, supposed major.
That was a crazy alignment.
Yeah. All of these major supposed to be, you know, world ending events that just keep going, you know, the world just keeps going as time passes. It makes me think of, you know, if we're in this major simulation and, you know, say it is time for a major reset, say we're just like a video game for some weird alien and he's just so sick of the way things are going, he just, you know, presses that reset button and that's the way, you know, we have a magnetic reversal or something like that. You know, it makes me think that, you know, somehow this is all, you know, controlled or by some higher level and connected through some kind of, you know, simulated reality or something like that. It just always, my mind always goes there.
So that's an interesting topic. And when I was saying before, like the mystery, like, you know, the human experience is at the heart is a mystery. We don't know who we are. We don't know how we got here. We don't know what we're supposed to do, despite there being all these great stories which answer that. If you're being honest, you're going to come to that point. And a lot of people come to that point and they try to solve, you know, they're like, I'm really going to go and try to solve it. I want to know what the answer is. I'm very comfortable with just saying like it's a mystery. I don't think it's meant to be solved. And my sense is particularly as it relates to simulation theory. I'll take a step back. So we see in like a lot of different, you know, there are other stories that were told of other cultures where they talk about like just regular baseline reality, natural world reality. Like, you know, it's Maya, it's the illusion, it's dream time. It's, you know, you're made of atoms and atoms are empty. And so you're not solid, like all that sort of stuff. And I think the simulation, but calling it the simulation, and when they introduce that as an idea, like it's in that same vein. It's in that same vein. It's pointing to the same fact as like it ain't what you see. But when they say simulation, that is, and this is my opinion, is it's to shape the way which the person understands that as an idea. And they want it to be shaped in a computer language context. And even more so like this idea of like this being a simulation or you being a simulation, because it's a bit of a double bind. It's a double bind. And what a double bind means is you're pulled in two directions. Like the binding is pulling in opposite directions. So, you know, you can't move. And it's a very strong hypnotic technique to create psychological double binds because it holds people in a place of not being able to move. And so when they start like introducing the idea of this being a simulation, you automatically begin to see the second version of yourself separate from yourself, which is a big part of like how this false reality works, is because it creates all of these, second cities, like of reality, which you then think of as reality so that you miss the big picture. Like that's the every part of culture we can look at that way, and part of psychology, like, you know, that's what the personality is. You're not your name. You're not like these experiences, but we identify with this falseness. And so all of this is false. So when I hear that, like the simulation theory, like I think it's both like part of like their storyline of making everything so computer oriented, and also like it has this psychological impact, which kind of is like, well, am I real? Is this not real? Is this not a real thing? But that being said, I think it's probably an accurate model of maybe what this is. Like there's something, whatever it is, this mystery of life is like, I think that's a fair analogy. Like, yeah, it's getting a reboot. Like it's changing. And this is where we hear like, you know, it's the fifth sun. It's like something's changing on the fundamental level. I call it the fundamental level, but like, you know, maybe it's an operating system. Maybe it's like, you know, a whole new game. Like those are as analogies. I think they're very just. But I'm not willing to go there as like this is what I think is happening. I'm just sitting in the mystery. I'm like it's changing, and I think that what you're describing is accurate. And there maybe even be there's going to be a cleaning of house. You know, maybe that's kind of happening as well. And what I'm talking about and what you're talking about in terms of like, what do you do during this time? You know, there seemingly is like some carryover. And what I think we're talking about is what the carryover is going to look like. Who are the people who are recognizing that I'm not going to go down that storyline? Who are the people who are beginning to think different ways? Who are you gravitating to? And that's, and they're going to be, you know, if we're going to go this, like the next version, you know, those are going to be the carryovers, and they're going to be the ones who are going to be part of wherever this goes. That's one story.
Yeah, it could be. And I've noticed some changes and things that are leading me to certain places in my life, some pretty profound things that I can't ignore. And you mentioned you've noticed some collective changes, and even in the environment, you know, one of the things, speaking of the sun, I've noticed changes in the sun. I've noticed changes in the color of the sun. And when I was a kid, I thought it used to look orange. Now I think it looks like a white light bulb. And I've got validation that there, the sun has indeed changed colors. Yeah. What kind of changes are you noticing around you lately that are kind of pretty profound for you?
So there have been a couple days, like I'm very observant of the sun, and particularly like what you're saying, the color, and there's, and I try to understand it like in location, like where is it setting and rising? I like to follow that too. But there have been like 2 days in particular in the past year where I was like, this sun looks different than any other time I've seen it. So I'm supporting what you're saying with the sun. The most interesting thing right now, which is just like, you know, it both has me tickled and but then also curious, like tickled and curious. So I got like a front porch, and I like to sit on my front porch in the morning, and I like to drink my morning drink, right? I like to drink my hot coffee. And I like to do it early in the morning, and it's somewhat of a busy road, which I'm on, but where the actual piece of property, the house is built on, this is like, you know, this is like a 1950s kind of subdivision sort of thing, like to picture where it is, you know, relatively high density for a suburb. You know, I'm about 10 minutes outside of Lancaster City. I happen to be like in a really high concentration of trees. In fact, where I am has amazing trees. It's like known for their trees. So, but where I am in this high concentration of trees, there's like a lot of birds. And I've been in this house for about a year and a half now. And as I've been sitting out on the porch this spring, more so than ever before, like I've been paying attention to the birds. I've been paying attention to the birds. Like I've always paid attention, but like not, but like it's different now. It's different. And like, I mean, of course I'm going to talk to them. Like you hear them singing, and I'm noticing them, and I don't whistle well. So I'm doing just like they'll whistle, and I'm doing this whole sort of thing. So I've been doing this for like, I don't know, like a month now. And I'm beginning to like, you know, certain birds are coming back to me, and like, you know, there's like a trust, which is happening. Like some of them are walking up the sidewalk towards me. Like none of them have like sat on my shoulder or anything. But what's happened in the last week, this has happened three times with three different birds. When I'm lying in my bed in my bedroom, a bird comes to the window and just flies, like holds like that same elevation in front of the window and is like tapping on the window. It's happened with a cardinal, it's happened with a dove, and it's happened with a robin. And I'm like, well, you know, this has not happened before. I have seen birds tap on a window before, obviously, but not like this, and not with this beginning of this connection with the birds. And even more interesting, I do a regular show with Emily Moyer. And like maybe 2-3 weeks ago, like she brought up this idea of like there was this website with, and this, you know, quote unquote movement of birds aren't real. Birds aren't real. We had like a whole show just talking about birds aren't real. And so now all of this stuff is happening and I'm witnessing it. And so, as I said, like the only thing I got is like, I'm tickled. I'm like, this is making me laugh because I'm talking about birds and now the birds are knocking on my window. And then I'm curious. I'm like, you know, not jump into any stories because I'm hearing all these different stories. Like, you know, I got my Ted Andrews book, like, you know, what does this mean? But then I'm like, but birds aren't weird. But then like everything's changing. And so I'm sitting in this like, position of curiosity, of like not knowing, but like really interested. Like, all right, well, like, where's this going to go? Where's this going to take me? I'm seeing stuff like that. Here's another interesting thing. Like, I have like a Subscribestar page. And so like, if you're going to be on my Subscribestar page, you probably like resonate with like a lot of my work, or at least the particular way I see things. You like to hear those stories. And so that's a small group, you know, maybe they're like 80 people there. And one of the guys who I just know through the Subscribestar, in fact, I did a session with him. I do some one-on-one work. but he didn't tell me this, but he was going to come up. I do a lot of work about this one specific place called the 40th parallel in the Susquehanna River. And I wrote this book about these four different locations on there, which you can access, and I kind of describe it. So I used to live right on that spot. I could walk out of where I used to live and ride my bike and ride to it. But now I don't have that luxury. I'm like 10 minutes away by car. So I got to put a bike in a car and like all that sort of stuff. So for the very first time in since it got warm, since the spring, I'm like, I'm going to go put my bike in the car. I'm going to go ride out. And I run into in one of these spots. It's, you know, I'm not going there regularly. I run into this guy who is from the Subscribestar group and who I did a session with, who doesn't live in the area, who like he had no idea. He didn't know that I was coming up to this spot, and I didn't know he was coming up to this spot. And the place is 20 miles long. It would have been amazingly easy to not run into each other, even if we were there at the same time. But like it lined up perfectly. And so I'm seeing like this level of synchronicity, this level of like, you know, of happening. But then at the same time, I'm also seeing like weird stuff with technology, like that beeping, like stuff like that is going on. I've been... this is weird. The more vocal I talk, like, you know, I'm like, I don't like the doing my connections over the internet and like voicing it and voicing why, like, routers stop working. Like, you know, my phone is so jacked and I kind of like it. Like, you know, I'm like, I don't want to get a new phone. And like, you know, I understand like this is my connection in a certain way, but I almost feel like I'm in this, like I'm walking a line right now. I'm seeing all of this stuff happening and I'm doing it in this very, which is different in a different way than before, in this very curious way, or more curious than I had been in the past.
Here's a little synchronicity to kind of add to that. I've had a few paranormal researchers on telling me about how Pennsylvania is just a huge paranormal hotspot. You know, I've heard of other places around the United States, but I never really thought of Pennsylvania being a really big paranormal hotspot. But they've been telling me about all the crazy things, cryptids, paranormal, UFOs, things that happen in the surrounding areas of Pennsylvania. Have you noticed that as you've been
100% right. And yes. And like, this is, I didn't know that. I wasn't born in Pennsylvania. Like life brought me to Pennsylvania. Life brought me to like certain parts in Pennsylvania where I was like, there's no way in hell I'm ever going to live here. And I moved there and like all of these things kind of like unfolded in my life in this mysterious way. So, and I don't think this is unique to Pennsylvania, but what I think is unique is there are a lot of places, probably throughout the world, but I'm going to focus upon the United States, which are kind of like written off. And those tend to be like really, really like probably significant for a variety of reasons, particularly like, you know, I'm thinking Arkansas or Ohio or like, you know, these kind of like, places where like no one really thinks of, but Pennsylvania is one of them. Like geologically, Pennsylvania's in a different way than where you are. So when we think of like geological uniqueness, we think of like the Southwest, or we think of the Rockies. We think, you know, that's kind of like how it's positioned. So Pennsylvania's geological uniqueness is immensely special. I've gone into that particularly when I went into all of my work in Scranton, like all of the strange things in Scranton. And my sense is it's because it's built upon this huge geological anomaly, which is found nowhere else on Earth. But we see that with all of the stones that are found in Pennsylvania, like the way that they tell us what happened is during the ice age, the glaciers, as they expanded from the north, they almost acted like a bulldozer scraping that top inch of topsoil off of the ground. And they did that all the way across North America. And then they began to recede when they were what we think of as Pennsylvania right now. So like you have a mixture of all of this of all of the that happening, like in the geography or the geology, excuse me. Plus, like, you know, there's a connection between what you find in Pennsylvania, the geology, and what you see on the western coast of Africa. Like, you know, we're told they were connected and they split apart. So there's that. There's so many things. And then you add in the levels of, like, you know, not even going into like hidden history, but like just what we're told our North American founding of American history of like what happened in Philadelphia. Like Ross Benton has done an amazing job, like showing all of that. And then you tie that into what's going on in, at Gettysburg, and you begin to recognize Gettysburg and what happened at the Battle of Gettysburg is like, you know, this like blood ritual on this ancient land. And then you realize that so much of the continuity of government occurs under the earth in this, like really like from Carlisle, Pennsylvania, down through Gettysburg to like where Camp David is. This is a place and like no one knows, like, you know, unless you're born there, like no one's ever heard of these places. But this is like where everything like behind the scenes is happening, and it's happening both in like a logistical real way, and it's showing itself like in this like a geological way and this like this ritualistic way. And we see paranormal activity all over the place. You know, you always, but it, because Pennsylvania typically doesn't have like a sexy story in like the culture, which is told, like, you know, most people don't know about it. What stories did you hear about? What, tell me, what do you remember anything which those paranormal researchers,
just a couple of haunted locations and some cryptid encounters.
All right.
Cryptid encounters with some dog type cryptids. I think that was the main stories, but it was just the amount of, I had two or three different researchers on late me telling me about experiences in Pennsylvania in particular. And I thought it was pretty interesting.
There's a lot of cryptid. And so think about this, like think about everything which we know about like West Virginia and Mothman and stuff like that. Right. Like the only reason we think West Virginia is different than Pennsylvania is because of a line. But West Virginia and particularly that part of Pennsylvania where Pittsburgh is, the southwestern corner, like, you know, that's the same sort of, that's the whole anomaly where all the like the Greenbrier is a resort in West Virginia, which was, you know, it's public knowledge. This is where the Senate would go during a nuclear attack. And like, and then everyone else would go up into like, parts of Pennsylvania and where Camp David is, like that whole area. And it's like, it's, there's something strange there. There's definitely something strange. In Scranton, I'll talk about Scranton for a little bit because this is kind of tangible. So Scranton is what is fascinating because it is in the backdrop. It's been subliminally dropped in the collective consciousness of your typical pop culture American in a variety of ways. The most obvious being the television show,
The Office.
But there've been a lot of other shows which talk about Scranton in passing. And then you go and you look at the history and like Joe Biden from Scranton and Hillary Clinton's from Scranton and like Frank Carlucci, the head of the Carlisle Group behind 9/11 was from Scranton. And like, you know, the B.F. Skinner's from Scranton. You begin to start to see this. So Scranton sits on top of, a deposit of what I'm going to call fire rock. It's this type of rock which can catch on fire. There's only one type of rock which catches on fire. Like none of the other rocks will catch on fire. We call it coal. But as soon as I say coal, the mind goes and tells you, oh, well, that's what coal is. Like there's a, so I kind of like, no, it's a fucking fire rock. Like if you were like, yes, like it, like we're using it for heat sources. But if you did not have a point of reference and you see all of the different stones of the natural world and you'd be like, oh, this is the only rock which can catch on fire. You're going to come to this conclusion, like with curiosity, like, okay, this is special. So you've got coal found throughout the world. And we know that's a fire rock, and you know it's carbon. It's mostly carbon. That's why it catches on fire. But diamonds are mostly carbon. They don't catch on fire. We're told it's plant matter, but we've never seen it happen. But we'll, I don't have a better solution or answer to what it is. But that's coal, and coal's like a dirty sort of thing. Coal's this dirty sort of thing. And what I mean by dirty is like, if you handle it, like, you know, you get it on your clothes and like it, when you burn it, like it, there's soot and all that sort of stuff like that. But there's another type of burning stone, another type of coal there, which is called anthracite. The other type of coal is called bitumen, I think, or yeah, I think that's what the word is. And anthracite makes up a very, 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 very small percentage of all of the of known coal deposits or resources. And what makes anthracite special is it ain't got no smoke. So now let's go back to like our curiosity mind with no preconceived notions. And you're like looking at this work, this environment. You're like, okay, this is the only, you know, the of all of the rocks, these are the only rocks that catch on fire. So I know there's something special about that. There's fire in these rocks. And then this one's got no smoke. This one's got no smoke. Now they'll tell you it's because it's got no impurities in it. There's no impurities. So it has no smoke. So nonetheless, so we've got the rock, which catches on fire, which has no smoke. And so it is a very, very, very small percent. I think it's like between 1-2% of all coal is anthracite. And of that small subsection of like, you know, now we're just looking at the anthracite, the overwhelming majority, like 98% of it, 98%, 99% of all anthracite, all of this special rock is found underneath Scranton, Pennsylvania. And so like without like going into like what that means, without going into like what that means, we're like, okay, that's kind of odd because like no one knows what Scranton is. It's in the middle of nowhere, but we got some weirdness going on, you know. Joe Biden's from there, and we got like, you know, we got Hillary Clinton from there, and we've got the office, and it's kind of making fun. Like the whole thing in the office is kind of making fun of what Scranton is and that whole part of Pennsylvania. So there's two other parts of which I find very interesting, which are two other like pieces of pop culture which deal with Scranton. And both of them are pieces of science fiction literature. And I wasn't planning on telling the story, so I don't have one of the books off the top of my the name of the books off the top of my head, but it was a Hugo Award winning book. And so that's kind of like the Academy Awards of science fiction. It came out in the 50s. I can't remember the author of the book. I think it was called like City something or other. But the premise of the book was that these cities were able to like an entire city could take off from Earth and go into outer space. And the city of the in that book was Scranton. So like we've got this like connection like in 50s science fiction of Scranton being this kind of like otherworldly sort of location. And then we have Philip K. Dick's Man in the High Castle, which also won a Hugo Award. Now, I'm going to be honest here, and I'm a little bit uncertain with this. I've not read the book, but I have seen the television show. And so they get linked. And this is part of like the conscious, like, you know, how the dream of the collective consciousness. So I'm going to say that this is in the TV show for certain. And I can't say if this is in the book for certain, because sometimes they don't line up. But this is what they did in the TV show, The Man in the High Castle. A key location is Scranton, Pennsylvania. And the reason why is Scranton, Pennsylvania is where the Nazis have found an anomaly in the electromagnetic field in Earth. And they have to go deep into the Earth where this deposit is. And then they are able to go to different dimensions. Like that is the part of their their storyline. So we've got like all of these different sort of things. Like, and we're tying this to Pennsylvania. And so like, it brings me back this question. I'm like, you know, I'm not saying like you're going to go to another dimension with a piece of anthracite. I'm also not saying you're not going to go to another dimension with a piece of anthracite. I'm just saying, I don't know. But what I do think is interesting is that there are all of these indications of there being something significant in this location. And I share this story for two reasons. One, we were talking about weird Pennsylvania, but then secondly is One of the things which I think is happening right now, and I'm seeing it from feedback from my work, is people are beginning to look at their own backyard, their own cities, their own their own histories with new eyes. And they're beginning to see like a new way of understanding reality. And so that, if anything, is yes, the Scranton story maybe is kind of fun and exciting, but it's mostly to be like, Scranton ain't the only place. Like, you know, what's unique in your backyard? What unique geology is found there? What is special about that on that baseline reality? And then seeing how that ties into like history or military complexes or stuff like that. And then beginning to like have your own sort of connection on a deeper level. Like, I'm finding that very exciting. So when we're talking about the collective, like that's something which I personally am wanting to become, encourage more, and maybe hoping to inspire that movement to happen more. That's, you know, some of the work which I'm doing with Roz Ben and Emily Moyer is to like to introduce like more new ways of seeing things.
That's great, because there's a major attempted divide for people right now. There's the, of course, the mask and no mask camp. You have the vax and no vax camp. All these attempts to divide people and get them thinking on different wavelengths, when I think, you know, behind the scenes, we have more people kind of looking at things beyond that and coming together when they're trying to hide the fact that that's happening. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that we're going to see more people coming together and looking past this division tactics in the future?
Yes. I mean, this is when people start talking about like, you know, we need 3% or 5%. Like, you know, I do think, you know, whether it's that or more so just the fact that so much of other life has gone away and people are looking for at least something novel, you know, something new to do, or, you know, people are becoming more curious and aware of their surrounding. Like I'm seeing that happen. Like, you know, just in terms of these aren't big numbers, but like, you know, communication I have with people hear me on a show, and I get emails all the time, which is like, hey, I started looking at my own backyard this way. When I say my backyard, like, I mean that literally and figuratively. And I found this and this, and like, I feel connected to that. And yeah, I'm seeing that. And I think that person who's doing that, they're sharing that with me because they know that like I probably get it, but then they're probably sharing it with people in their community, like, you know, their friends, their family. And like, you know, half of them might, 2 years ago, their family would have thought they were crazy. But right now there's going to be a lot, there's going to be more people who are going to be interested in that than before. So I think it's just, it's a logical conclusion that people are going to begin to look at things differently. I mean, obviously you're seeing that too. Like, as your influence, as your reach with your platform has increased, like, you know, you go back 10 years ago and you think about like, you know, how you were received and like how those numbers, like, yeah. Like, I think we're seeing it all around. I think they're, you know, they said it. They've been saying that. I remember like 10 years ago, they're talking about that. Like, humanity is splitting. There are going to be two types of humans. And they always positioned it like the superhuman who takes the chip. But like, you know, maybe the other type of maybe that might be true, but it's more so like the other type of human, the one which you and I are describing right now, who's beginning to see things differently. Like, that's what I think is, that's the group I'm interested in.
Definitely the ones that are naturally kind of evolving to see things in a new way and maybe get back some of our hidden abilities that humans used to have in the past. That'd be really exciting times.
I would say even more so to move off of the system. And the system only is held in place by consciousness. Like, right. it's an idea. It's just an idea. It's a mass greed upon idea. It's a mass agreed upon idea. So that's why like it kind of like it works, but it's just an idea. And what we see in the natural world is that when the toxins stop going into the baseline reality, it immediately begins to self-regulate or self-heal. You know, they told us that, right? With the, like, when Wuhan went into lockdown, the skies cleared up in a week. And Chernobyl, we've seen fauna, which we haven't seen for 10,000 years because no one's allowed into it. And we know that within the human body, we know that, when you go 16 hours without digesting food, meaning that the digestive system, like the body doesn't have to work. That's like why they always want you to eat, so that the body never stops working. Like it suddenly starts doing something different. Our entire culture is toxic to consciousness. And what I mean by consciousness is it's how we understand reality. That's on the most basic level. And so as we begin to see things differently, and as we begin to no longer have our consciousness linked into this toxic program, I think that all of those things, those, you know, quote unquote, magical abilities, like it's not that we discover, it's like they just happen. You know, the connection we have with everything, I think is changed. Like that's the you know, I don't want to say like it's an expectation, like, because that's part of the problem. Because you want to hold an openness, but, to how it's going to unfold. But yeah, there is an expectation that, yeah, things are going to unfold in that way.
Yeah, we live in such a fascinating time. I'm always interested to see what's coming around the next corner. Michael, I want to thank you again for joining us tonight. Another excellent conversation. And, you know, I'd love to have you keep having you on as things develop and we keep going along in this crazy sci-fi story that we're in.
Fantastic. This was a lot of fun. And I'm happy to come back on. This time, let's not wait a year. Let's do another 6 months. We'll see what happens. But that'll feel like a decade, I guarantee it. We'll talk about it at the end of the summer.
Yeah, definitely so. All right, Michael. Well, thanks again for coming on. We'll talk again soon. And until next time, everyone have an excellent evening. I'll actually be back in a couple hours with another show.